Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Wasn't sure if anybody was on yet.
Oh, yeah, we're waiting and just giving everyone a few more minutes to dial in.
Okay.
This is Chris.
Okay. Thank you. Darsha, close this door. No, not like that. You're gonna.
All right, everyone, welcome to tonight's conference call. We're going to wait a few more minutes for others to join in. And for those of you who are here, welcome. Hang tight for just a few minutes. And just a quick check. Sarah, are you here on the call yet?
Yes, I'm here.
You're here. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for coming, and thank you for doing this tonight.
Of course.
We have, I think, Lisa's dialing right now, so we're going to do an intro here in just a couple of minutes. But again, we're just going to wait a few more minutes for others to join in. I see others calling in like every few seconds.
Oh, hang on. Okay. Good evening. This is Warnicki. How are you guys tonight?
Hi, Warnicki. How are you?
Pretty good. How have we been doing just numbers-wise on these calls? About how many people do we have call in?
got about 25 people on
That's
average.
Terrific.
25, I think last week we were somewhere between 25 and 30.
Awesome.
So
that
it's pretty
is
good.
Just amazing the way God is moving on something that was
well, you know,
an idea a few months ago.
Yeah, and you know what's really great is once we posted the conference call on the website and people could go in and listen to it, we had a lot of new people go and listen to it that were not on the call. So I think the numbers were higher on the recording, listening to the recording part. So that's great.
Oh, that is terrific.
Hi, everybody. It's Shaw.
Hi, Shaw. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. It's Gigi.
Hi, Gigi.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi there.
Okay, Lisa, are you here yet, or are you still logging in?
No, I was on. I've been on the whole time.
Oh, you're here. We didn't hear your voice.
Yeah.
There you are.
And this is my second time, and my name is Sinclair.
Okay, welcome. Welcome.
We're about 3 minutes into the call, so you wanted me to go ahead and open, and then I'll give it over to you so you can introduce Sarah
sure.
tonight?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Okay, well, welcome everyone to tonight's Standing on Scripture conference call, and we always like to give an intro as to how this call got started and the purpose of it. And it got started simply because the Lord just placed it upon my heart when I was seeing all of the Rejoice Marriage Ministries prayer requests, and it was just so much hurt, and just thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have a forum where people could come and actually hear a live voice, and we would be able to pray and share testimonies. And reached out to Chris and Sophia, and we joined together, and this is the result of, I would say, the prayers on Rejoice Marriage Ministry. So we are a spinoff of that, and SOS, Standing on Scripture, is the name that Chris so eloquently gave to this group. we do ask just a couple of admin. We're trying to record our calls. We actually are recording the calls. So we ask that you only use your first name if you choose to use a name at all. You do not have to use your name when you ask questions. You can just speak up. So that's one thing. We also ask that you put your phone on mute because background noise can be a bit distracting when we have a speaker on or when someone else is talking. So if you would be so kind as to put your phone on mute. And Chris, am I forgetting anything else for announcements?
No, that's pretty much it. Just put yourself on mute if you would. And remember, take yourself
okay.
off if you want to add some comments. That's it. What we discovered is if we post the conference call recording, many people who are not able to make it go in and listen later, and they're equally as blessed. So we're going to try to make every effort to post the recording on the website. Of course, all of you know that the website, you know, has to register, so we know who's going there. It's not just wide open to the public.
Okay.
And it's only really advertised on RMM website, so only those people here can see, can access it and listen to it. But if you would mute yourself, unmute if you want to say something, please no first names. If you're speaking about your spouse, again, please don't mention his or her name. Not really necessary. And that way it frees us up even more to post the recording. Just want to emphasize that. Thank you, Lisa.
So I'm going to go ahead and open with a prayer, and then, Chris, I'll give it over to you to conduct the rest of the call on tonight. And I do have one more announcement, which I will announce again at the end of the call, and that is tonight we're going to have a testimony come forth. And then next Thursday we're going to have another testimony come forth of a restored marriage. And this particular testimony has been it's a Rejoice Marriage Ministries podcast. It's called The Journey to Restoration, number 17 and number 18. So if you would please go out and listen to both part one and part two of that podcast before next Thursday's call, it would probably do you a world of good, and you'd be really more prepared with your questions and just hearing her journey to restoration. So with that said, Father, we want to thank you right now for the gathering of a few more of your souls. We are seeking, Father, to do your will. And, Lord God, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit on tonight, that you will open our ears and our eyes to hear and see your will. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will move upon our speaker on this evening, that she will just depart unto us the wisdom that you have given to her. And, Lord God, we thank you for her testimony, and we're asking you, God, to do it again for those who are hearing the words on tonight. Lord God, we ask for your favor. We ask you for your grace, because standing is so difficult at times. So, Lord God, with your grace, we know that all things are possible. Father, we pray for your Spirit on tonight, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We ask that you strengthen us continually in our stand. And, Father, we just trust you and we thank you, because we know that this is all about our journey with you and our reconciliation with you. We thank you, Father, once again. And with that said, we ask that your Holy Spirit will once again guide us, and that you will give us all the knowledge of your will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Chris, I give it over to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, I wanted to repeat something that Lisa just mentioned. For those of you who didn't catch it maybe the first time, the guest speaker we have scheduled for next Thursday, Restored Marriage, in the podcast, you want to look for the May 22nd and May 29th of 2018 podcast. It's part one and part two, two of them. So if you have time between now and next week, listen to that podcast, and then you'll be ready for next Thursday's testimonial. For tonight, we are very grateful to have Sarah with us, and Sarah's husband came home this past Sunday. So that's all I'm going to say. It's just a teaser. I'm going to pass it over to Sarah and let her go ahead and share her testimony of her husband coming home. Sarah, it's all yours.
Hi, thank you. So I kind of just want to start at the beginning of my stand, if that's okay. For me, my story starts in December. A week before Christmas, I found out that my husband had roughly a six-month-long affair, and that the woman was pregnant. That sent me into a tailspin. The first thing I did was leave home, but only for a day or two, just to kind of get my thoughts collected and figure out what the next move was. I had no intention of staying gone. I quickly came to the realization that I needed God through this. And my husband and I actually used to be in the ministry, but when we got out, he and I both fell away from God very quickly and almost completely. For me personally, I stopped relying on God. I stopped reading scripture. I didn't go to church as often. So for that to be the very first thing, almost the very first thing that I thought to do, I guess goes back to my roots, because I grew up in a Christian home. So, I downloaded a bunch of Bible studies from the Bible app, and a lot of them had to do with affairs or adultery or marriage, or, you know, saving your marriage, things like that. And, you know, I was reading them, but I really wasn't putting any of it into heart or into practice. And so the next 4 months, you know, there was a lot of there's a lot of fighting, disagreements, a lot of alcohol to try to numb the pain. And I'm not really much of a drinker, so that's really out of character for me. And I, there, you know, at different times, you know, he would leave for a day or two. I would leave for a day or two. It was very difficult. And that from during those first 4 months, you know, the kids, they heard us, you know, arguing, but they didn't know the details of what was going on, for obvious reasons. But it wasn't until about 7 weeks ago today, that he called me when I was on my way home from work and said, "I'm not coming home." And he works overnight sometimes, so I thought, oh, so I asked him, "So you have work tonight?" And he was like, "No, I'm just, I can't do this anymore, and I'm not coming home." And I said, "Well, how long?" You know, because I said, remember, I said that there were days, you know, that he would be gone or I would be gone, and, you know, so I thought, well, is this going to be like a day? Is it going to be 2 days? You know, a week? You know, what should I expect? And he's like, "I'm not really sure." So, you know, I got pretty angry, said some pretty hurtful things to him over the phone, and that's kind of been an issue that I brought to the table, not kind of, I mean, it has been an issue that I brought to the table over the 12 years that we've been married. My anger has been something that I've never tried to control, and you know, through my anger, I would talk down to him, I would demean him. I would not treat him with respect. I would bash him in public to my friends. And these are all things that, you know, over the course of 12 years, he'd been pretty patient with me on, and I had created an environment in our marriage where he felt unloved. And I don't take responsibility for the decision that he made. I take responsibility for the things that I brought to the table. And, but at this point, you know, when he said, "I'm leaving," I really hadn't fully taken ownership of that yet. I was still so angry with him for what he had done. And, so this was a Thursday that he told me this. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't tell the kids because I felt like that needed to come from him. So he took them out the next Saturday and told them and that he was going to be gone for a little while, and that I don't really know what the full conversation was that they had. But the next Sunday, the following day, he asked if he could take the kids for the day. And I knew that he was wanting to take them to her house, which was where he was living. He left our home and moved in with her. And his reasoning was that it was the only place he had to stay. It wasn't a romantic thing. They were not romantically involved. It was just she was offering to rent him a room, and that's what he decided to do. That was the best idea that he had come up with. I went to church Sunday morning, and on the way home from church, I had every intention of handing the kids off to him without a problem. I had even packed him a bag in good spirits the night before, you know, because I felt like he needed to have things, and, you know, I still love him. So even though he didn't want to be home, I wanted him to have things. I wanted to have clothes and socks and underwear and whatever. And I wrote him a note, a very loving, nice note, and put it all in the suitcase. And I was, you know, ready to hand it to him lovingly when I got home from church. However, as soon as I saw him, when I pulled in the driveway, as soon as I saw him, I was overcome with an immense amount of anger, to the point to where it was rage. And I acted in that rage in a way that I've never acted in my entire life. And I put my hands on my husband in a violent way. And in a matter of minutes, hurt everyone that I love emotionally and my husband physically. Long story short, that after that situation escalated and then calmed down, he still took the kids that day, and they spent the day at her house, at her pool. And I, as soon as the door shut, I just cried out to God. I could not look at myself in the mirror for days, literally, which made it really difficult to put makeup on. But I couldn't look at myself in the mirror because I didn't recognize who I was anymore. And I, the next day, on Monday, I called my brother because it was affecting me to the point to where I wanted to take my own life. He talked me off the ledge and told me I needed to check myself into a program. So I found Rageaholics Anonymous and their conference calls too. So I, the same day I found the Rageaholics Anonymous website, I also found, I had actually already subscribed to the podcast on my Spotify app for Fight for Your Marriage by Charlene, but I had never actually listened to it. I don't know how long it had been subscribed, but it was just sitting there, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, what could this hurt? Let me just start listening to it. So I started at episode one that day while I was sitting at my desk at work, and I just had my headphones in, and I just started listening, and it was life-changing. Completely put me in a completely different mindset. I thought I was fighting for my marriage, but I really wasn't, because I wasn't doing anything to change myself. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I was letting the anger drive me, and I was letting the anger control me, and I was letting the hurt and the pain control me and not giving it to God. And so through the encouraging words in the podcast and through the different scriptures, you know, I slowly began to completely change the way I was approaching everything. This all happened just that first day, okay? So I had every intention of going forward and doing better. And then that night I come home, and my 12-year-old is in a really bad mood. And I asked him if he was mad at me because of the thing that I had done on Sunday, the acting out in rage. And he said no. And I said, well, are you mad at your brother? Because they had just gotten into it. And he said no. And I said, well, what's the matter? Who are you mad at? And he said, I'm mad at Dad. And he basically told me that he had figured everything out himself, down to the pregnancy. And because, like I said, they had just gone to that woman's place, and they were around her, and he just put all the pieces together. And he's a pretty smart kid. So that sent me into another tailspin. And the next day, I went to my boss, and I asked him if he knew of any lawyers that would be willing to do work pro bono. said, I don't have a lot of money. And he asked me what was going on. And so I shared with him, and he said, I have a lawyer's name for you. And this, my boss is a very godly man, which is, you know, a great thing, which is the only reason I went to him, honestly. And he said that I have a lawyer's name for you, and I'll send it to you. But if you're not 100% sure that this is what you want to do, then you need to be praying about it. And that all happens in the first 5 minutes, and we spent the next hour and a half talking about marriage and fighting for it and the fact that he had done some pretty crappy things that could have ended his marriage, but his wife fought, and by the grace of God, they're still married today. And so leaving that day, I was still very angry, and I went to my husband's job, and I said, you and I need to talk. We need to move forward with divorce. We need to figure out custody arrangements. We need to figure out how we're going to divide up all our stuff. We need to write it all down so that we've got it already taken care of before we ever go to a lawyer. And I could tell he didn't want to do that. He was hurt from all the years of me treating him poorly. I was hurt from what he did. We were both just hurting people, and I was ready just to take the easy way out and not try. And he asked me if we could take it slow and date each other. And I agreed. I said, okay, I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know what to expect from this. I mean, I didn't say all this out loud, but I was just thinking it. And I said, okay, we'll date each other. So for the next couple of weeks, we saw each other here and there. You know, we'd get a cup of coffee together. We'd go have a dinner together. He would every now and then come over to the house and watch TV and then leave again. And it never got easier watching him leave. And then one night he asked if he could spend the night. And I thought, for some reason, he never said it, but I thought that that was him coming home. And then when he left the next day, I was devastated yet again. And I spent every chance I had listening to Charlene's podcast. It takes me like an hour to get to work and an hour to get home from work, sometimes an hour and a half. And I just let the podcast roll through. And I had them, you know, going and at work in my headphones. I mean, I was having a really hard time focusing at work because I was listening to the podcast. I have sticky notes on my monitors of scripture verses. And it was maybe the first 3 or 4 weeks that it was just strictly podcasts. And then I really started digging into more of the resources on the webpage, and I found the 12 Days of Praying for Your Husband. And I printed it off, and I taped it to my wall at home. And I prayed for one of those things, at least one of those things every night. And then when I got through all 12 of them, I just started over and I started picking random ones. My mirror in my bathroom is full of index card size sticky notes with scripture verses or encouraging words all over my mirror. I have dry erase markers written on the mirror just everywhere. The main verse that I've been looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And, you know, I know it's typically read at weddings, but I was never patient with him. I wasn't kind. I dishonored him. I was selfish. And these are all things that I needed to work on within myself. And the podcast helped me really see where I was failing as a wife and how I needed to fight for my husband and how I needed to rely on God and all those things I wasn't doing. Even when I was in the ministry, I never prayed for my own husband. And, you know, that just seems like something you would do, but I just never thought about it. And
So over the next, few weeks, there were ups and downs. We had great days where we get along really well, and then we have hard days where it was just, again, difficult to see him leave, or difficult to, I never knew when I'd talk to him again. I never knew when I would see him again. Everything was very just up in the air, and the fact that I knew he was living at her house, just the devil would try to let it eat at me. And I found myself in those moments where I would feel despair and discouragement. I found myself going to the podcast and listening again. And then, she would throw scriptures out there and I would open them up and read them. And fast forward a little bit, last week, he had been coming around more and more, and I had been praying that God would send men of God into his life to speak truth into him, because I didn't feel like he was hearing me when I would say things, so I just stopped saying things because I didn't want him to feel like I was pressuring him or trying to force anything on him. So I just prayed that God would send people into his life to speak truth into him and that he would receive it. And there's a friend of ours that we were in seminary with, and he just kept hammering my husband with phone calls and text messages. And it's funny, he's really in tune to the Spirit, this friend, and just based off of a few pictures that I put on Facebook that didn't include my husband. It was like a family outing that he wasn't in any of the photos. Just based off of that and some of the song lyrics that I had been posting online, he gathered that that he wasn't home. And so he had been calling him and praying for him and all these things, and it was amazing. And then my husband asked me for a phone number for another one of our session mates, and it just showed me more and more how much God was working on him. I got him that phone number. He called and reconnected with a buddy of his, and then so last week, on Thursday morning, I was on my way into the office, and I felt this overwhelming sense that God was telling me, he's coming home soon. Stop parking in the middle of the driveway. Get the house straightened up. And don't get me wrong, the house isn't messy. I've been keeping it neat because he has stopped by here and there, and I don't want it to be a mess. But, sweep the floor here and there, whatever, straighten the pillows, that kind of stuff. I felt like he was telling me those things. And I said out loud, God, I don't know if this is you telling me this or if this is my own, human desires wanting this. Can you please show me a sign or tell me something audible or something obvious that I know that this is coming from you? So I didn't get anything right then and there, but I turned on another podcast, and this one was the one about hindrances blocking your prayers. And and I paused it about, 5 minutes into it, and I said, God, is there something I'm doing or not doing that's blocking my prayers? And immediately I felt like he was telling me, you need to forgive her. And I said, no. I don't want to forgive her. She's single-handedly torn my family apart. I don't want to forgive her. And I felt him just say it again, you need to forgive her. And I just kind of went back and forth for a few minutes, and I just kept arguing with God. And finally, I just gave up. I said, fine, I forgive her. And I literally said it out loud over and over again. And each time I said it, I felt a little less weight on my shoulders, until finally the last time I said it, I just felt completely free. I forgive her. I forgive her. I forgive her. I just kept repeating it until it really just felt real. The forgiveness felt real. And I felt really good the rest of that day. And that day actually happened to be my oldest son's 13th birthday. So that evening we all went out as a family. He was with us and we went and saw a movie together. And when we got back to the house, my husband hung out for a few minutes and then he left. And right before he left, he, you know, I've been making a habit of walking him out and seeing him off and giving him a hug and a kiss goodbye. And right before he left, he got this serious look on his face and he said, is it okay if I come home in a couple days? And I didn't really know what to say, but I said, of course, you can come home. You're always welcome here. And so he said, okay, there's a few things I have to take care of, but I would like to come home in a couple days. And so that was God giving me the sign that I needed. It was kind of obvious, really obvious at that point. And so I just, you know, went back inside, you know, and I was in such a good mood. I was praising God. And then the next day, you know, he comes and he hangs out with us for a little while and then he leaves again. And I think that the devil was really trying to tear me down at that moment because he was seeing progress and he was seeing the beginnings of restoration, and he was trying to work overtime because I got really discouraged because he left again. And I went into the bedroom and I just cried. I just cried out to God and literally cried. And I said, why would you have him tell me that and then make me wait again? You know, I mean, I know I had already been waiting, so what's more waiting? But it was just hard, you know, and I was trying not to get my hopes up, but it was happening anyways. And I guess my 5-year-old daughter heard me crying, and my husband hadn't actually left yet, and she, I guess, ran outside and told him that she heard me crying. So he came back in and tried to console me, but I wasn't really in the mood to talk about it at that point. I was just, it was what it was. So he leaves that night, and you know, that was that. But the next day, this past Sunday, we go to church. It was me, my kids. We go to church, and on the way home from church, I get a call from him, and he says, I'm coming home. And all I could say was, okay. I didn't really know what to say. I didn't have any other words. And he's like, I'm literally in my car with my things, and I'm coming home. And I just said, okay, again. And this is that, like, I guess that suddenly that Charlene talks about. And I thought that I would handle my suddenly better. I thought that I would be elated and, you know, open arms, but I didn't. He said, I thought you would be happier. I said, oh, trust me, I'm happy. But I'm skeptical. And I'm trying not to get my hopes up, and I think you can understand that. And that's what I said to him. Instead of saying, I'm so happy, come on home, I said, I'm skeptical. And, you know, that was doubt that Satan was putting in me. And, you know, I could tell that he wasn't too thrilled with my response, but he still came home. And it's been interesting. You know, there's another podcast that she talks about. It's an adjustment period. And I definitely see that. There's definitely been an adjustment period, getting used to him being home again. I'm having to, I don't want to say having to, I get to now put into practice the things that God has been changing in me. you know, through going to the Rageaholics Anonymous and being held accountable to my anger and getting tools to keep it in check and just being kinder to him and more gentle and loving to him. Also, during his time away, I started devotion times for the kids, them an outlet. And at first, they didn't really start praying, but after like the third or fourth time, you know, each one of them would say their own prayer. And they would all pray for their daddy, that he would come home. The oldest, who knew about everything, you know, he would pray that God would bless him in his journey, is what he called it. He would call it his journey, that God would be with him and give him strength. And it was just really great to see God growing my kids in their prayer life, and it just to see them lean on God and have them walk this stand with me, on their age level, of course. But, you know, my little five-year-old would just say, you know, dear God, this is the time that we lift up Daddy to you, you know. And she would see that there would be times that I was down, and she'd come up to me and say, Mommy, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. And I'm like, no, baby, we're not. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely an adjustment having him back, and I'm beyond grateful that he's home, but there's still a lot of unknowns ahead of us. The baby of the other woman is still not born yet. He's due in July, and you know, there's going to be a paternity test just to confirm all of that. And so there's a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of potential valleys coming our way, a lot of rocky moments, I'm sure, that are going to be ahead of us. But at this point, I have myself on a stronger foundation than I was on before, and I'm leaning on God more than I ever was. And I know that he is going to get us through those times. I'm still praying. Like, I don't think my husband has come home restored spiritually. I think that's something that God is still working on in him. And I'm still praying for that. I'm still praying that he will learn to lean on God during this time and stop trying to do it on his own strength. So I hear these testimonies, I read them on the website, and I know that my stand is not as long as other people have been through. And I pray for each of you daily, with the things that you're going through and the struggles that you're facing. But God is real, and God is out there, and he is with us here, ready to strengthen us, ready to give us peace and comfort. We just have to depend on him, and we have to give it all over to him. We can't try to control the situation, because we don't have control over our spouses. We don't have control over what they do or who they live with or who they're seeing. We have control over our relationship with God and allowing him to work through us. And we don't know what God's doing in the background. We don't know what God's doing in our spouse's hearts. And we just have to have faith in God and rely on him. And I know, trust me, I know that's not always easy. I'm still struggling with it, knowing that he still has to have contact with this woman because they're having a baby together. This is very difficult, and I'm trying to be a supportive wife. But it's not always easy. So I hope I didn't talk too long. So that's my story.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all that with us. Can I that is incredible strength that you have to be in the middle of all of this and having your husband still communicate with the other woman, obviously because of the pregnancy. And I know, yeah, you're still dealing with a lot of unknowns. Can you speak a minute, maybe just to the, where are you finding your strength, like on a day-to-day basis? And I'm sure every day is a little bit different from the other. Some days are good days, the other days are more challenging. But you have to have an incredible amount of strength to have your husband home communicating with the other woman, and the other woman's going to, you know, give birth in a few months to some child that's not part of your marriage. Can you speak to that strength that you are finding every single day?
Well, obviously that strength is definitely coming from God. The peace that I feel right now is solely from the forgiveness that I've been able to come to, I guess is a good way to say it. The forgiveness that I gave to my husband was first, but the forgiveness that I had to give to her was harder to come to, because I was holding on to so much rage and hatred and anger and hurt from her. And I've never even interacted with her, not one time. Never been in the same room with her, never seen her face except for pictures that I saw on Facebook. I've never been around her, but solely because of what she did and what my husband and her did, I felt like I couldn't forgive her. But God, he softened my heart and very quickly. And I attribute that to him leaving, actually. And I know it's kind of difficult to admit, but had he not left, I really don't think I would be where I am as quickly as I got to this point. It forced me to take a really good long look at myself in the mirror and see my faults and see what I had brought to the marriage and see what I needed to change and know that I couldn't do that on my own. And I have to, I almost said had to, but I have to actively lean on God every single day. And there are moments where, and I'm going to counseling too, and one of the things, like, she gives me little homework assignments each time I go, and one of the things that she's asked me to do this next 2 weeks was to replace my negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Well, you know, that's easier said than done. But I find those negative thoughts start creeping in. You know, well, what is he talking to her about? What are they, you know, when is he talking to her? Or, you know, even now, like, he had gotten really affectionate with me towards the end before he came home. And, you know, he would hold my hand or he would, you know, hug me really long and affectionately. He would send me really sweet texts. And then since he's been home, I feel like some of that's kind of slowed down a little. And so I can tell that the devil is trying to use that to make doubt creep in and make me wonder if things are really going to change. And I'm not sure. I don't have an answer to why that slowed down or why that's kind of, you know, eased up. But I need to continue to rely on God and trust in him that he's still working in my husband's heart and he's still going to restore my marriage. And having him home is a big first step. And it's only been a few days. So we've got a long way to go. We're definitely not out of the woods yet by any stretch, but I'm encouraged that he's home, and I'm encouraged that, you know, now I get to put into practice the things that God has changed in me, and I'm terrified that I'm going to mess it up, but I just have to pull that strength from God all the time and from his word. I read a lot of Paul's letters because they're full of encouragement. I
I guess the simple answer to that question is God. I have to keep in constant contact with God. Yeah.
Are you aware of Bob and Charlene's book, After the Prodigal Returns? Are you aware of that book?
Yeah.
You have it? Okay.
Yeah, I read it. I just read her side. I was thinking about reading his side. I'm not sure. I guess there's no reason why I shouldn't read his side. I know it's geared more towards the prodigal.
I want to ask one more question, and I want to open it up for others' questions as well. I know it's premature. I know your husband's been home for only a few days now. Have you been able to discuss at all, or has he mentioned what was the turning point for him that kind of triggered the suddenly moment of, I want to come home, I'm coming home?
Not since he's been back, but leading up to him coming home, he had been saying things like, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I need to be home with you guys. He would say little things like that, but he would follow it up by saying, you know, I still have a lot of things within me that I need to work on. And, you know, namely, it would be reaching a point of forgiveness to me. So I have forgiven him, and I some days have to do it daily. You know, I have to daily say out loud, I forgive him, I forgive him, because those thoughts will creep into my mind. But I don't know if he's reached the point of forgiveness of me for 12 years of treating him pretty awfully. There's no pretty about it. It's awful. I've walked all over him. I don't think he has. I feel like he would tell me if he has. But I know that's something he's still working on. I don't know. I know that he had issues like with drama in relation to the other woman. I don't know if that played a part in it, too. I'm not really sure. I've been kind of trying to be very careful about what I bring up right now because he just came back, and I don't know necessarily when the right time is to bring certain topics up. It's still kind of trial and error. I'm sorry. I don't know if that helps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's. Would you mind if we open it up for a few questions from those who are listening in?
Sure.
Would you be okay with that? Okay. So everyone else who's joining us on the conference call, please again try to remember not to use your name, because we're going to try to post this conference call on the on our website for others to listen into. Questions. Anyway.
When he was leaving, or even before he left, when he was with the other woman, did he tell you he wanted a divorce, or he just wanted to leave?
No, he's never used the word divorce. If anything, it was me who kept throwing it out there, because I would get so frustrated with the fact that he was still talking to her, and the fact that he would still randomly leave and just not come home. It was me who was weak and ready to just give up, but he wasn't necessarily trying either. He just wasn't using the word divorce.
So can you tell us what scriptures you were standing on? You said you had some on your mirror.
Yeah, hang on. Psalm 18, 1-3. Do you want me to read them or...
If you want to just tell me, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, yeah. Psalm 18, 1-3, 1 Peter 4, 7, again, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, Mark 11, 22. I have this one written, but I didn't write the scripture reference. I think it's in Luke, but just nothing is impossible with God. And... I read Isaiah 51, like the whole chapter, a lot. I have some here. Actually, I have some on the back of my phone. Isaiah 43:2, Proverbs 14:1, Psalm 37:34, James 1. There's so many. I would write down so many that Charlene would give and just study them. And sometimes what I would do is I would read them and I would put a different emphasis on different words, and it would almost make the scripture come alive in a different way. And I don't know if you guys have ever tried that. It was actually something I had learned in seminary as well, is to put a different emphasis on the different words and just to see how it would alter the impact of the scripture reference.
Can you explain that more in depth so I'm understanding?
Sure. Let me just take... So you would just take one word and you would read the scripture and you would put the emphasis on the word. So for instance, 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And you take another one. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And then you do it with the word pray. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And it would just, I don't know if I'm explaining it well. It's just the different emphasis on the different words would just help you see that there's more action to the scripture than just reading it through. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's really helpful. I appreciate you doing that and actually giving an example.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other...
It was restored, I know you said that you had like that feeling of, okay, I need to clean up the house and get things together, but before you got that, was there any other like signs before all that happened that it was about to happen, like any dreams or somebody tell you something?
There seemed to be a lot of answers to prayer towards the last 2.5 weeks or so. Mainly with the guys who would reach out to him and speak to him. Just having that was a huge one to me because I felt like he didn't have any friends. He works in a very secular environment, and a lot of people that he worked with were divorced, and that was always a concern of mine even before we were having problems. I wanted God to bring people into his life that could help encourage him because he was going through some stuff, you know? I was too, but so was he. And I had people I was leaning on. Sometimes, it became an issue that I shared what was going on with too many people. And I wish I could go back and change that, but I can't. And that did hurt him. Seeing God answer those prayers so quickly and obviously, like it was obvious to me, is what I mean. It was comforting to know that God was hearing me, because it was usually in moments where I was feeling discouraged that he would show up and say, you know, I'm doing this on the back end. You may not always see it, but it's happening. And he didn't have to give me that. He didn't have to give me that assurance, but he chose to, and it was perfect timing every time, because it was always when I was down and discouraged.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
You were saying that you had that moment of rage where you physically touched him, I guess.
Yeah.
And so many times when we're standing, I've had that moment of rage. I'm thinking others may have as well. We kind of feel like, wow, I've messed up. I've really made it worse, you know, all of these negative thoughts, it's a setback, things like that. And I don't know, can you just talk a little bit more about what, how you felt, like did you feel like there was a setback, or rather, I think I'm trying to understand what happened next in terms of you let the kids go to his house that day or her house that day, but then there had to be a coming back together with you and him. And I'm just trying to understand that time frame and how that happened.
You talking about like the when he brought them back, that coming back together?
Yeah, like maybe when did he address that with you? Did he say, did he ever use those negative words that we hear the enemy speak through our spouses, like I'm never coming back? Or, I mean, because there seems to be this lapse.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it was actually happening, the rage, he called me a monster, and a bad word that starts with a W. Those are really hurtful to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like he was right when he called me a monster, because of what I was doing and how I was putting my hands on him, and I felt like a monster. I felt like, honestly, the way I described it to my counselor was, it felt like I was on autopilot and I was watching it happen from somewhere else. And I couldn't stop. And that anger was still there over the next few days, which is what fueled me to go to him and ask for the divorce and say, let's figure all this out and get it all written out so that we don't have to pay the lawyers any more time than we have to, basically. And I guess, I don't know if all along he never wanted that, but it didn't seem like he didn't want it, you know, because he chose to leave. And, it was, there were definitely a lot of things said. I mean, there were phone calls. I'm not trying to paint him out to be an angel and all this. And there were definitely phone calls along or throughout the separation that I would say things in anger, and then he would say things in anger, and I would hang up, like we would get off the phone, and I would just walk away from that, saying to myself that there I go again, doing that again, and I've I remember saying something to him about a phone call that we had, saying, "Did I just increase the amount of time that you're going to be gone with what I did or what I said?" And I don't necessarily remember his exact response, but, I'm sure it was something like, "Oh, no, you're fine, whatever." But, you know, I know that he was thinking other things. I mean, I guess I don't know that, but after 12 years, I can tell when he's saying one thing but really means something else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah.
Did you ever doubt it was him?
But love covers a multitude of faults, and I really respect and appreciate what you're doing. You're covering his sin in love, and nobody thinks that he was the perfect angel, but we don't need to continually air out the spouse's dirty laundry. And what God does is it feels like we're badgering ourselves, and we're not. You just recognize, I believe you recognize, you know, your faults, and that's between you and God. And no, you're not a monster. It's just that the enemy can use anybody. And at once, sometimes he'll use us physically with our hands, and sometimes he uses us with our mouth, and he can use anybody. So I can relate to a lot of things you said, because when I was going through, I tried to run my husband over with the car. And that's just how much rage I had in me at the time.
I did something very similar that day. I think somebody asked if I ever did.
Well, I did, so I guess I confess myself.
Well, it feels good to not be alone on that one. I think somebody asked too.
But I've done similar, so you're not alone, either of you.
Thank you.
Did you ever doubt it that it'd get fixed at all? Did you just think it was a lost cause?
In the beginning, yeah, I did. Mainly before I started standing. Like, I know I told you this started, I found out back in December, but it wasn't until, you know, 7 weeks ago that I actually actively was standing for my marriage restoration. It was 7 weeks ago that I found the podcast and started looking at the resources on the internet. But the 4 months leading up to that, I didn't know how it was going to be fixed. I knew I wanted it to, and I knew that I loved him, and it didn't feel like it was over. It didn't feel like, you know, this was the end of us. But at the same time, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I couldn't see how we were going to get from where we are now to a point of being able to sit in the same room as each other and not feel depressed and angry. It wasn't until I started listening to the podcast and spending more time in prayer, and my prayer life really just completely flourished and developed into a more than just, God, please bless this food to nourish our bodies, Jesus, let me pray, amen. It was, God, I'm broken. I'm broken and I'm in need and I can't do this on my own. And it became just a deeper relationship than I had ever experienced with God. And I used to stand behind a pulpit and preach about a relationship and preach about how to have that relationship, but I never really, really got into that. I never really experienced it on this level that I'm experiencing it now. And it's just, even now with the home, I don't think I know that I can't do this without God. I can't go a day without talking to him. There are days, I mean, I love to listen to music, you know, any music. I've been listening to a lot of Christian music lately just because I need it. But I love to just jam out on the way to and from work, but there are days where I'll either just solely listen to the podcast or I will completely turn everything off and I will have a full-on conversation with God the entire way to work or the entire way home. And there have been times where I'm like ugly crying while talking to God, and I'm sure people are driving by me saying, what is wrong with this woman? But it's just, it's needed. It's so needed. I couldn't do this without leaning on God, falling onto God. I just couldn't.
Do you think that time apart really helped? Like, you needed that time apart so you could cool down? And
yeah,
because you said it felt like autopilot. Because I've had that, like, where it was on autopilot and you wouldn't have really noticed.
Yeah.
It helped.
Yeah, definitely, because it got to the point to where just at the sight of him, I would immediately get angry. And one of my friends was even telling me, I think you guys need some time away from each other to cool down. And I just kept saying, no, I don't think that's what we need. I don't think being apart is going to help anything. And until it was a decision made for me, basically, I didn't realize the good that could come out of it. It just, because it forced me to lean on God during that. It forced me to make God my husband when I didn't have my husband home. So,
ladies,
did you ever feel like you got mad? Oh, sorry.
I came late into the
the conference. Who is giving the testimony? I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Sarah.
Okay, Sarah. Yeah, I was like, I wonder who it is. I was like, because I just listened to part of what you were saying, but I didn't. I just got off of work, so I was trying to listen. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you could join us.
That's it.
Any other questions?
I was saying, did you ever find yourself getting angry or like when he was kind to you or the more kind, did it ever like make you, or did you feel like he was genuine the whole time?
There was a time towards the end before he came home, like a week away from that we had a really serious conversation in the bedroom, and I found myself getting angry again and wanting to, like, I guess I don't need to sugarcoat it. I felt myself wanting to put my hands on him again, and that's, you know, that's not okay. And so instead of doing that, I felt, I did put my hands on him, but in a loving way. I put my hands on his cheek. I put my hands on his cheeks in like in a compassionate way, and he like pulled away from me, and then I did it again in a compassionate way, and it seemed to calm us both down. And I do feel like there were times where he was genuine, and I feel like there were times when he just wanted me to be quiet because he was being fueled by his own anger with me and didn't want to, like, he's even said to me that my tears had no effect on him anymore because it just, I don't know how to explain it. He said that they had no effect on him because he had seen the ugly side of me for so long that the hurt side just didn't have as much power, or didn't have, not that it needed power, but it didn't have as much effect on him. Does that make sense? Which really hurt to hear because my tears were real. My pain was genuine, and it felt awful. And for him to say that it had no effect on him, you know, just, you know, that hurt to hear.
That sounds like my husband.
I understand. Yeah, I've heard that too, so yeah.
Yeah.
Did the in-laws support you during the stand, and now that you guys are back together and everything, they're on your side too, like with the both of you? Or?
So it's just his mom, but she never once called me. And, in fact, at Christmas time, right after the news had reached her, she asked for a photo of him and the kids and not me. And I was really upset about that. And she had commented on a photo or something on Facebook and said, "Hey, girl, call me sometime." And I didn't, because I was still upset about that request. And, you know, he had been keeping in contact with her, telling her his side of everything and leaving my side and the negative things that I had brought to the marriage out of it, because he didn't want to paint me in a negative light, which I respect and I appreciate. But at the same time, he wasn't fully opening up to anybody, so I felt like he wasn't able to get the guidance and help that he needed, even if that meant he shared my negative things with someone else. You know, I really wanted him to just open up with somebody. But no, I still, even now, have not talked to her. My parents knew, and they figured it out on their own, because, not the baby part, but the affair part, because I went to their house broken, and I didn't tell them why I was there. They asked, I didn't tell them. I think it was the day after New Year's or something. I had sent my kids to their house for that week, and my dad took me on a walk around the neighborhood before he let me leave and basically said, I know that there's been an affair, and I just broke down. Like, he shared something about something that had happened with him, very similar, that he had, his first wife had had an affair on him. And I never knew that. And so as soon as he shared that, I broke down and just shared everything. And I didn't want to, because I knew that family knowing about it was going to make it even more difficult to come back from. But again, that was me limiting God, because recently, you know, my son had had an orchestra concert, a chorus concert. My daughter had a VPK graduation, and then my son had his birthday party, and that's four opportunities that my husband has had to be around my parents within a week and a half. And each time, my parents were great. They were loving, because they want the same thing I do. They want us to work this out, to get our marriage restored and to be stronger on the other end of this. They still love him because I love him. And that was something that I know was a big concern of his, is how interacting with my family after all this was going to happen, how it's going to work out. And I just praise the Lord that he didn't, my parents didn't harden their hearts towards him, because that would have been very difficult to come back from.
I know you said that you...
Sorry.
I know you said that you find your strength, like, with God, and you have to constantly be in communication with him in order to draw strength from him, and that you're broken and you constantly need him. Did you ever feel at one point in time in your journey that although you needed God, that, like, somehow fell back a little, like, didn't communicate as much, or was it a constant thing for you?
No, there were definitely days where I would let the fear of everything just kind of take the forefront of my thoughts, and on those days, maybe I didn't pray as long or at all. There were some times in the very beginning where I would cry out, and I felt like God was just silent, and I felt like I was just completely and utterly alone in it. And I know that I wasn't, looking back now, but at the time, I felt so alone. And that was really hard, because, you know, I was in my, I guess, I thought that I was making every effort to reach out to God, and I thought that I was, you know, depending on him as best I could, but then the days of doubt and the days of discouragement would just be so much. I mean, there was a time where I couldn't go a full day of work without crying at some point during the day. And that's really difficult when you work with a bunch of guys, and you know, you already have to, I mean, for me at least, I was always trying to not be an emotional person, but then, you know, this happened, and, you know, starting in December, I couldn't get through a day without crying. And I knew the guys were just completely baffled by it and didn't know. They were like brothers to me, so they wanted to help, but they didn't know how to help. And, you know, it was just, those were days where I felt like God was silent, and I felt like I was either not doing something right, or that there was no hope or something. And those are pretty dark days.
Was there ever a time you were in? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, were you ever silent? Was your husband a time when you guys didn't communicate at all? Or
There were a lot of days. There were a lot of silent treatment days. There were a lot of days I would come, before he left, there were days I would come home and I would just lay on the couch and I'd have like really sad, slow music playing and I would just be like sleeping on the couch and he would come home and just do his thing and we wouldn't really interact with each other.
Well, did you have no contact for a long period, I guess, of time during when he left? Or after he
was? Not for a long period, no. For us, because of the fact that we have our kids together, he always made an effort to keep in some level of contact. I didn't ever know when the next time I would hear from him was, whether it would be that day or 2 days from then or what, but it was relatively... I don't know if I want to say the word consistent, but I didn't go like a full week without hearing from him, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last one, if I can ask one more, did you feel like you heard God more towards the end when he was coming home, or
was he
silent? Did you feel like God was more silent, or you started, was he talking to you more, did it feel like, or more, I guess, close to you? When your husband was coming home or close to coming home?
Towards the end, I felt like I was able to hear God more. That's always been an issue of mine, is knowing when I'm actually hearing God and knowing when it's like my own voice in my head talking. And even now, that's difficult for me. I'm not always certain when it's God and when it's just me. Towards the end, I felt like I was getting answers to prayers or, you know, a full-on conversation back and forth with God. I felt like, you know, I would be in the middle of saying something to him and then have him put a thought in my mind that would just stop me mid-sentence. And I think one time I was actually praying at night and I was in the middle. I was ready to just full-on, you know, have this long, drawn-out conversation with just me talking, and all of a sudden I heard him say, "Open Isaiah." That's it. That's all I heard him say was, "Open Isaiah." And I just stopped talking, like, mid-sentence, and I grabbed my Bible, and I opened up the book of Isaiah, and I heard him say, chapter 51. And that's it. That's all I got. But it was so obvious to me, it was so real, that it stopped me mid-sentence, and I mean, you guys are on this call, it's an hour and 20 minutes now, you know I'm long-winded. So for it to stop me mid-sentence is, it says a lot for me. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I know we probably could keep her on this call for another couple of hours, but it is getting late, especially for our East Coast group. And so if you have any more questions, you can maybe reach out to her on email from RMM. Sarah, we so appreciate you coming and sharing and being so open with us tonight. And Chris shared with the team, the group, maybe was it last week, Chris, a week before last, he shared with us that the root word of testimony, which is what you've shared with us tonight, the Hebrew of that word means do it again. And I believe that because God has given you a restored marriage, that if we can just touch and agree with you tonight, he will do the same for us. He will do it again for those of us who are still standing for our marriages to be restored. So if you don't mind, I know you said you've been in the ministry, so I'm sure you're comfortable with praying. Would you please offer a prayer of agreement for those of us who are on the call tonight under the sound of your voice? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. You can go ahead.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift up every stander on this call to you. Lord, you know the struggles that we face every day through the silence, or even through the loud noise and anger. Lord, you know the struggles that we face. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm the spouses that are estranged right now, that you would continue to speak into their hearts and soften their hearts towards their standing spouse. I pray that you will overwhelm them with your Spirit, overwhelm them with your forgiveness, help them know that you are walking beside them, that you are never leaving them. I pray that you would strengthen them, and I pray that you would bring them home to their spouses. And Lord, I pray for the standers right now. I pray that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of unknown, in the midst of fear and doubt and pain and sorrow, that you would give them joy, and that you would give them peace and understanding, that you would speak into their hearts and help them know that you are walking and standing right alongside them, that you are never going to let them fall, and you are never going to leave them alone. I pray that we all continue to seek your face, that we continue to lean on you for everything, and that our strength comes only from you. I pray that we don't find solace in men to share our story, Lord. I pray that men in general, Lord, I pray that we don't find solace in the world and worldly things, Lord, but that we find solace in you. I pray that we will lean on you and take our guidance from you. And when we are uncertain about something, Lord, I pray that we would just pour it at your feet. Lord, fill us, hold us, love us, and just continue to show us the ways that you are moving. Bless our children. Keep them strong. Help them know that you are right there beside them. Help these situations to not take away from their innocence and their childhood. Help our standing spouses to continue to spend time with their children. And for the spouses that are estranged, Lord, I pray that you would keep the relationship with their children alive and that they will continue to be a part of the lives of their children. Lord, I pray for everybody on this call tonight. I thank you that this call is even here and available to us. And I pray that tonight as we go to sleep, as we end our day, that we end it with you, that we end it speaking out your name, even if just a few words or even if just a few verses read in the Bible, Lord, I pray that we would just seek you and your guidance and your peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Sarah,
all so much for your patience
Amen.
Tonight. Thank you so much. And, oh, my gosh, Sarah, we just really appreciate you. And we pray that God will continue to pour his Spirit into your marriage, your covenant, your family. And we lift you up. To those who are also standing still, and even everybody, I'm going to be fasting this weekend. I'm going to start tomorrow and go until Saturday. And I'm fasting that God will give me a right now word, a rhema word, and not just for myself, but for all of us. I think when God gives us a right now word, things happen. So anybody who wants to join in prayer, whenever you think about it, just let's pray for each other that God will speak into our marriage covenant. Chris, did you have anything else before we close?
No, I just wanted to, again, extend a very heartfelt appreciation and thank you to Sarah for taking the time and sharing with us. Her journey is, you know, still ongoing and in many respects it's just beginning. So if we can continue keeping Sarah and her husband and her family in prayer as well,
Amen.
That would be a good idea. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Next Thursday, don't forget, we have another marriage restoration testimony. And come out. Be on time. It's going to be great. God is moving.
God bless you, everyone.
Have a good
night. We'll see you on the prayer wall. We'll see you next Thursday. God bless you, everyone. Thank you, Sarah.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.